All right, the band is back together. It's KFC Radio. It's Clancy and Feidelberg. We're on, baby.
We're on.
Yesterday, or 2 days ago, was Barstool Radio, where I jumped on at noon, and I owned up to everything, and I faced everything, and apologized and took my beating. But that's Barstool Radio, and I'm sure a lot of you tuned in for that. But Barstool Radio's audience is Barstool Radio, and KFC Radio is KFC Radio. And you guys who are listening now have been with me the longest. And if you've been listening the entire time, you have you've been listening to a coming-of-age podcast with me and Feidelberg. And it's been around for 6 years now. It's the longest thing, the longest show that this network has. And it is the most like raw and honest show that this network has. So you've seen our lives unfold. And for better or worse, in my case, certainly worse, we have always put our personal lives out there. Other people here keep it close to the vests, and they are just here for jokes and entertainment. And me and Feidelberg, I don't know why we do it. I mean, I never like set out on a quest to be like, I'm going to put my life out there to be like relatable and to talk to people about the way life unfolds so that if I can help them, we'll do that. I never meant to do that, but that's kind of how it's gotten there. And a lot of people have said over the years like that we've helped them.
I know why I do it. You made me. It was true.
I told you you had to put your personal name out there.
I was the only one. Yeah. I was the only employee at Barstool that had their fucking name. I was like, and it was like long before we ever thought. Well, like we always thought Barstool was gonna be like, you know, that's why we worked for it, because we had a passion for it and we believed in the company. And but it was like K Marco, KFC, El Presidente, and John Henry Feidelberg from Fallout from Massachusetts. I never had a choice.
I fucked you on that one. I'm just fucking over everybody these days. But my point being that this show has always just been, it's been funny, it's been jokes, it's been wild and exaggerated and completely absurd, but it always has been two guys just telling the truth, which is ironic that I'm now sitting in this seat, because that was exactly what I didn't do. I lied to my wife, to my family, to everybody that counts. I was lying and putting up a front, and you know, so that almost makes everything worse, because you know, I usually was the guy who was real, keeping it real. It's been like, I don't know, 5 days now. Shit is, for those who are very invested, I mean, people seem more invested in this than I ever could have imagined. I think it, I still never even really fully grasped how far Barstool has blown up until I saw the reaction to this. People are, they want to know. Things are weird at home right now. I don't know where it's going to go, how it's going to go down. A lot of hurt, a lot of confusion. And we're just trying to work through all of that. And as far as for here, I got a lot of questions on the radio and social media and whatnot about this show. Because obviously, if you're a listener, you care about, you know, the show that you've come to like and rely upon and whatnot. So while I am making things right at home, or trying to make things right at home, and hopefully mending relationships and building back bridges and whatnot, the show must go on. Work's work. Gotta provide. Got other people relying on me, and I can't run and hide from the public. So people were asking me, why should I still listen to this show? And it was kind of a weird question, but I guess, like I said, I haven't fully grasped how like invested people got. And so when they're shocked by something like this and disappointed by something like this, there's a chance that they're just like, fuck that. I don't want to listen to that guy anymore. Well, first things first, you should listen to me because of Feidelberg. You don't like me anymore? That's whatever. But there's another dude here who has put his life into it just as much as I have, and oh, fuck you, Feidelberg. And yesterday's quickie was something, man. That was crazy. I sat in here and I listened to that with Tom in BC, and I was like blown away.
Over the weekend, like when it first happened, like I was just concerned about you. I never thought about the show or anything like that. Like it
right.
was just like, how's Kevin and his wife gonna, how they're gonna reconcile, how they're gonna go on forward from here. And then like throughout the weekend, I just kept getting texts like, "Are you okay? Are you mad?" And it was almost like you know when you trick a baby into not crying.
Yeah.
Where you like kind of just make it laugh.
You're okay.
Or
you're okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the opposite where I was like, wait, should I be mad? Wait,
fuck this guy.
Hang on. Wait, yeah. What the fuck, man? So you have like everyone else to thank for like making me realize like, hang on, that was kind of fucked up.
Well, it was. I mean, I obviously my focus here is Caitlin and my family and her family, but. I'm answering multiple things here at the same time here, but you know, one of the things everyone said to me is, well, you're only sorry because you got caught. And my response to that was, you know, I knew how much I could hurt people if I were to get caught doing this, to get caught cheating. But I didn't think about you. I didn't think about work. I didn't think about Brendan. I didn't think about coworkers. I didn't think about family, friends of friends. Like, this fucks everybody.
Well,
fucked everybody with this move. And, you know, the people at the heart of it are the most important, but you see how much I hurt them, and it's on a level that I never even imagined. You know, it's like, oh, of course you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to hurt them. But then you see it, and it's like, oh, my God, I've absolutely crushed people. And then I also, I'm like, oh, my God, and this person and that person. And so that's where the remorse comes from. It's like, yes, it came about because I was caught, but once you hit rock bottom in life, when you have a true rock bottom moment, your perception of things change. Your outlook on life changes.
I think a lot of guys kind of think of ourselves as like lone rangers. Like mm-hmm. we're just, or lone wolves. I think that has a negative connotation to terrorism, but whatever. Like you kind of think like you're just a solo guy. Like you're responsible for you, and that's all that fucking matters. I mean, obviously you're different with a family,
right? But even
that
is like
family,
I figured I just have, you know, them and that's it. And then it's like, you know, I mean, everybody's a big boy here, and everybody's got their own life. But at this point, we're all like a family and all intertwined. I mean, I have my brother here, and like you've become like a brother over the years. So I mean, it's fucking with family in the studio as well as it is at home. And so that's number one. You should listen to Feidelberg because he has like deep psychological issues, and he uses these episodes as a therapy session. And if we don't do this anymore, he will kill himself. He talks about hanging himself far too often.
I wouldn't do it hanging. That's why I chose hanging.
I know.
Because
it wouldn't
be hanging. So, like, that's not something you have to be worried about.
When your brain's on the wall, though, it's over.
People are tweeting me like you need a bathroom buddy. Like, no, I don't. I'm not going to fucking hang myself. I'm going to go like Charlie Mack. Like, it'll be an explosion. I promise you that.
Red
it'll
flags.
Be solo. It'll be solo. Like, I'm not going to blow up the office, but like there's like a small electrical fire in my apartment. And that was probably on purpose.
All right, so fights. You gotta listen to fights. And honestly, dude, seriously, that episode you did by yourself was stunning. That was some of the best radio I've ever listened to. It was 15 minutes, but it was like the most enthralling 15 minutes. It was like so real, so honest, and like moving and right. And I mean, the reaction was all very warranted. So thank you for that. So that's kind of, you know. And to go back to the coming of age thing, it's like you watched me go from a single guy to a married guy to a father to living in the suburbs. And I've always been pretty real about everything. And this is just another turn in the road. So now, if you choose to continue to listen to us, the host of the show will be forever known as the dude who like blew up his family and fucked up and cheated. So, unfortunately, I think there probably are people out there that can relate to that. I think that maybe, I hope, I can't give you all the details now just because everything is so raw and fresh, and I think it's pretty disrespectful if I were to talk about everything, but I think down the road I will be able to talk to you about, you know, how did I end up here? How did I hit rock bottom? And hopefully you know, when it all started with the podcast, it was all about work and stuff, and I was like warning people of the pitfalls of cube life, and I remember a lot of people being like, dude, it's not that bad, what are you talking about? And then they graduated college and they were like, holy shit, this is all like, I need this, this is spot on, what do I do? And so I hope maybe you can be like not me, be better than me, don't do some of the things I did to end up hitting rock bottom.
I think that's what the show's kind of always been, is two extraordinarily imperfect people who are warning you of the pitfalls of how you fuck up.
Yeah.
And we're like what's that game Dwight and Jim play, Second Life? Where like Jim like makes himself like a sports writer in Philly who plays the guitar.
Yep.
Like we're the person, like it's just like your Second Life, like the your avatar that's just a mess.
Right. Well, I mean, I always
like,
said
you're the real one. Like you're the one that's doing well. The person, the people listening.
Yes.
We're the opposite. We're your fucking disaster scene.
When people ask me to describe KFC Radio, the only thing that I ever could find in a quick sentence was that it's just the unfiltered access to a guy's mind. And so we said things that people were afraid to say, and we talk about things that people are afraid to talk about, and this will be a topic that a lot of people shouldn't talk about or wouldn't talk about, and in due time I will. And so to tie that into like the advice question, like people were like, you always give advice on relationships, well, why the fuck should anybody ever listen to you again? To that I have a few things to say. One, our advice is not exactly like gospel. I mean, more often than not, we tell you your boyfriend's gay. We tell you to like spit on someone or kill yourself. Like, it's not like we're seriously sitting down on the leather couch being like, here's how to save your relationship. Two, if we ever were, when we are giving you that unfiltered access, being like, this is really what we genuinely think about life, and if I were you, I would do it this way. When we were being serious, I would just say, it's easier said than done.
That's really the whole point. Like, yeah, the advice we always give. We do the joke spinning advice. Like, I often give, I think, my best advice. I think you do too. And it's a lot easier to give that advice. And like, I think we've always said this. It's never like, this is what I would do. It's like, right, in a perfect world, this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. In this podcast studio, surrounded by literally padded walls and safety, that's what I'd do. But right, like, looking my girlfriend in the eye, I probably wouldn't like do a preemptive breakup or whatever the fuck I'd
right
say. I'd want to, like every inch of me would be screaming to. I probably wouldn't. It's a lot like the fucking JJO. Like, yeah, I'd like to fucking do that instead of going back and like fucking my ex-girlfriend.
And I mean, advice is advice. Like, because I was screwing up in my personal life, it's not like I didn't think it was wrong. It's not like I didn't know it wasn't right and I shouldn't have been doing it. So if you said to me, I'm not happy in my current relationship, should I go cheat? No, you shouldn't. That advice is still going to stay the same. Because I was like a coward and stupid and weak and did it doesn't mean that you should too. I'm not going to go around giving people the green light to do things. Like, God forbid people actually listen to me. And so, you know, there's a couple elements there where it's like, this show is still meant to be humorous and fun. And when we are actually giving advice, to go back to what Feidelberg said, like, we are certainly not perfect. And I, like, most certainly am not. People are saying I'm, like, hypocritical. That I find a little bit confusing. You mentioned it yesterday on your show. You know, things were tough at home for whatever reasons. And I think those warning signs and red flags were kind of there, the way I talked about things.
I do too. And I think an episode a while back where like I stopped in the middle of it. I was like, and we didn't stop, it was recording, it's in the episode, where I was like, dude, I kind of said it jokingly and laughing, and that's kind of how we do everything, so it's not taken too seriously. I was like, is there something you want to tell us, man?
Right.
Like,
and there was. I mean, it was things were getting tough. And
and that's not, I don't want to make it seem like we're sitting here sucking your dick, because it is like, it
is
hypocritical. It is hypocritical and all that. And like, there is like, you know, it's, I'm not judging. Like, that's one thing we said, like, we don't judge. But like, I while not judging, we still have like concern for like how Caitlin's handling, how your wife is handling this, how like it affects everyone. But it's still not like, it's not judging. I don't know. We've never judged.
No,
like,
yeah. Well, listen, we'll judge on the show. My viewpoint was always like, you know, if someone else in the media or the celebrities was going through this, I would trash you and clown on you and make jokes about you. And if you were ever walk through the door and be like, you want to have a beer? I'd be like, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't actually care. You know, right. Like if that's hypocritical, fine. I mean, trust me, at this point, I am A-okay with whatever fucking labels you want to hit me with. I deserve all of them. So I'll just say, you know, as far as like housekeeping here, as far as State of the Union, little double entendre there. The reason to keep listening here is it's just going to be, you know, another chapter and another wrinkle in it, a fucked up, terrible wrinkle where I'm going to, you know, hopefully continue to try to entertain you and maybe we usually try to brighten your day. Maybe now you can be like, yo, I ain't KFC. At least I'm not Kevin. And I hope down the road I can hit you with some honesty and some truths about, you know, me over the years that will be some really good advice. And on a morbid level, you know, why should you keep listening? It's fucking, you can't look away from the train wreck.
You are.
Tune in every week now, twice a week, to listen to a dude who ruined his life to just sit here and ramble. I don't know. That's a pretty morbid appeal, I think. Like, you know, it's like the world's greatest soap opera right now. I'm on fucking People Magazine and shit like that. It's crazy.
People Magazine. I mean,
it's one way to make the papers.
It's stars. They're just like us.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that People that does that?
Yep, I think it is. Yeah. So, I know that I have a lot of girls out there who listen to this show. Like, I don't know the exact numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me at this point our show is majority females. And I know that this obviously hits them harder. I don't think anybody's happy with me. I think everybody's disappointed with me. But I know a lot of the girls out there are the most disappointed. And there's no words that can fix that. I mean, the one girl I need to make things right with, no words is going to fix it with her. A lot of the female listeners out there are, maybe you've been in the same boat, or you're afraid to ever be in that boat, or you just got the back of a fellow female who's getting treated horribly by another dude. And so, you know, if you hate me for that and judge me for that, that's absolutely your prerogative, and the only thing I can do is, you know, be better for my family, but for, you know, everybody who listens and whatnot, be better here as well. Be more honest, be more open, and, you know, now I'll just change. It's like, you know, maybe I used to give some takes like, fucking don't do that, and now I'll be like, I can't judge, because I, you know, when the chips were down for me, I cracked, so... you'll just hear things from a different perspective. And so you can call that hypocritical or flip-flopping or changing. And to me, that's more just like life happens and, your perspective changes and your, to me, like my, what's the word for it? Like the slack that is given to me will change, whatever it is. My entire life will change. And so it'll just be a host coming from a different perspective now. And all I can do is hope to make it right at home and hopefully be at peace there so I can keep working here. I mean, what's a tough spot for me is, like, I got to work. I mean, I got two kids, and I got to make money, and I got to provide for them. And so, you know, if I was still an accountant, it wouldn't be like, how can you go back to work and fucking Alt-ESV on the spreadsheets? I would just be at work working. The fact that, you know, this job happened to have a lot of my personal life intertwined in it, it happens to talk about sex and marriage and relationships and life, it certainly makes things messy. It certainly makes things problematic, but I got to keep it on. And there are enough listeners out there who have grown to rely on Tuesday, Thursday, every week to hopefully get away from their shitty lives. You know what? And really, okay, you know what? I'm rambling here, so I'm going to just tighten it all up like this. The crux, the real true crux of KFC Radio. It's not the unfiltered access. It's not the honesty, this and that. The crux of KFC Radio is that life fucking stinks. And we are here to help make light of that and to help navigate that. And what I have learned is that I stink and I have made life suck. And I have taken all of life's suckiness and let it beat me and get me down. And so that's what this show will be about. Even further, Like, you know, we always kind of joked about life blows. Well, now I really know it. Now I really know, like, how tough life can be and how down you can really get. You think you know rock bottom until you really hit a true rock bottom. So maybe that's why you listen, because now I'm some dude who's seen some fucking shit, who has done the worst of the worst and can come from a different perspective. But in the meantime, the show must go on. Like you said, Feidelberg and Clancy, we're on, baby. So we're going to do voicemails. The calls will dictate where this show goes. You want to talk about it? Call us up. Leave us a message. We'll play it. I'll answer it. You want to get back to who's smarter, fucking Magellan or Feidelberg? We can do that.
Magellan.
It's Magellan.
By a long shot. In fact.
You were dumb. You want to talk about sex, relationships, hypotheticals, marry, fuck, kills. Those will be interesting. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of places this show can go now. And we, as always, this has been for the Stoolies, by the Stoolies, with that voicemail line. And so we're going to do it. All right, so let's get into these voicemails.
Voicemails. We're going to put you on suspension for a week, too. Excuse me. Well, I can't even think of the word. Of ad reading. See, I'm not good at this. This is what's going to fuck us with advertisers. It's not Kevin. No one's mad at him. Like, it's a self-imposed suspension. And then for a week, advertisers are going to be like, you got a guy who can't read doing our ads. Fuck it. We're out. Put the adulterer on.
At least that guy can read.
BetDSI.com. Promo code KFC25. Sign up now. You get $25 for free signing up. Once you put some money in, you get a 100% bonus. For those who aren't great at math, you double up. It's playoff time. Can't think of a better time to do BetDSI. Now, we've often given our expert gambling advice with our BetDSI promo codes up until now. Well, we had a little meeting with sales yesterday. Turns out that's illegal. Not even like we're not allowed to do it. Not even like it's frowned upon. Like, just straight up breaking the law. So I'm going to say, do not, I repeat, do not put your money on the Patriots, because that's a fucking blowout waiting to happen. Don't do that. Don't do that at BetDSI.com with promo code KFC25, where you get $25 for signing up. You get 100% bonus. Don't put a shitload of money in that account and bet on the Patriots. Don't do it. Wink, wink.
Voicemails.
Let's cook.
Hey, KFC Fights, Super Producer BC. I got a fun story. So over the weekend, a bunch of my coworkers were all at a party together. They were drinking. It was the day before New Year's, so it wasn't actually New Year's, but it was like a birthday party. Everyone's partying, everyone's having a good time, and one of the coworkers got crazy out of hand. And this isn't a group of people that hangs out a lot. This is probably like the first time all these people had ever been in a social situation outside of work. And this kid gets blackout. He starts swinging at people. He's saying racial slurs. He's doing all kinds of crazy shit. Now, he just started working here about 4 months ago. And my question to you is, he has to quit his job, doesn't he? Like, he has to be out of here. Like, it's Wednesday right now. Monday, we just had off a holiday. He didn't show up to work Tuesday. He's never coming back, right? Let me know. Viva.
I'll tell you. When you embarrass yourself and then you got to come into work, it's tough. It's not easy.
I remember the first time I did it, which was we went to Chicago, the Cup after the Bruins. We had the Greg Olson kickball tournament. Mm-hmm. We went out all fucking night, like all. I think I was supposed to be at the Dodge at the kickball tournament at 7 a.m. I got home at like 5:30, and I did not make that. I was as wasted as you could possibly be. And I remember having to show up. It wasn't to the office. I had to show up at the kickball field. And this is, again, you know, on the KFC quickie yesterday, I kind of, you know, talked about how I owe a lot to you. This is another one. If I would have left if it wasn't for you. I remember I texted you because I woke up. Like, I didn't tell you what time I got there. I think it was 2 p.m. I was supposed to get there at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I got there at 2 p.m. And I remember I was texting you from a hotel room being like, Like, I just didn't want to face my boss. I didn't want to face Dave. I was like, yo, I'm gone.
Yeah, just go.
I was like, right? I'm out. I'm not coming back. I'm just leaving. I'm just done with this job.
It's so much easier to just be like,
to just run.
I don't have to ever address that.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you've ever, you're wearing a pair of sneakers and like they get like so muddy or something. You're just like, I'm throwing these out.
Yeah.
Just throw them back. This used to happen like Shea would, I remember Shea, like, she had a blowout, like, shit everywhere. And someone was like, you got to just throw the whole baby out.
Oh, you mean she, yeah. I think it meant like she made a mess in her room. Well, she did, I guess, technically.
Yeah, she did. It was so bad, it was everywhere. People were like, you got to just start over with a whole new baby. Like, and that's where you were at with work. But I think, so when I was at Deloitte, I've told the story before, a weekend at Bernie's, like that Indian kid who had never drank before, and we basically bullied him into drinking, and he was drinking for the first time, just throwing back shots of Patron like they were water, and I remember being like, slow down, fella. He got alcohol poisoning. He had to be carted out in an ambulance from like the Waldorf Astoria. This was back like when like finances was still good and they had like bomb-ass fucking Christmas parties. He was in work the next day before anybody. I strolled in at like 7:30. He was there just away.
That's not fair because he got that IV hookup.
Yeah, the IV is a different
thing. When you get pulled away in an ambulance, that's not fair. That's cheating.
But he, you know, this guy, as far as like the embarrassment and shame, like, I think you got to just get right back on the horse. I mean, I rolled in here yesterday. Just as soon as the elevator opened, I was just like, let's get rid of this. Let's get like elephant in the room. But it sucks because when you fuck up publicly, your coworkers, like, they have the upper hand on you now. Like, that fucking googly-eyed Riggs came over to me and was like, you fucking idiot. And it was, like, in a heartfelt, supportive way, but I was like, oh, now Riggs has the upper hand on me. Like, shit. It's easy to just run away. It's hard to stick around. So this is why, though, it's better to just not drink in front of coworkers. Just don't. Or like, you know, you go, like, not even halfway. Go, like, a quarter tank.
I was really disappointed that we didn't have anyone like that at our Christmas. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Our Christmas party fucking sucked.
Yeah, it stunk.
It's so bad. Yeah. We had like chicken tenders and a couple of beers. It was a
brutal,
terrible Christmas party.
At a bar in Murray Hill.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are we doing here? Yeah. What are
like,
we doing here?
Like fucking 6 years ago, we had a sweet the Celtics game. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. We were mm-hmm. fucking poor. Mm-hmm. We had it was chicken tenders, sliders, and a couple of Bud Lights at the fucking Barcelona Christmas party.
Red.
That thing was, we need, like, that's how bad our Christmas party was. No one got alcohol poisoning.
I mean, nobody did anything even interesting.
No, everyone kind of just sat at a bar, like, watched like college basketball and left. It was fucking terrible.
I was like looking around, like, who's gonna do it? Who's gonna like throw a punch? Who's gonna like fall over? Nothing. Nobody did a goddamn thing. Resnick was sitting there like counting how many chicken fingers were being eaten, making sure that like, we were getting our money's worth.
By the way, Resnick, I did like my last 6 months expenses over the weekend.
Oh shit, Resnick, I'm about to do like my last 9 months.
I'm gonna need some cash.
For real, I'm gonna need you to push these expenses through, brother.
What's up, KFC? Fights, Super Producer BC. So, I guess it's kind of my brother's situation, but I'm going to call in and let you guys know what's going on here. So, he, every single time that he drinks, like, no matter what, like, if he's drinking, like, he pisses the bed every single time. Like, it's, you know, I've heard of some people, like, pissing the bed if they, you know, they drink a little bit too much, they black out a little too hard. Like, no, like, this is a thing where he pisses the bed every fucking time he drinks. My parents hate it every time he comes home from school. Like,
yeah, you know, I bet.
Bedroom smells like piss. You know, the whole night. Everybody hates it. It's gotten so bad to where on his girlfriend, when, like, they're laying in the bed together after they've been drinking, one time he, like, pissed all over himself because I guess, like, I don't even know how that happened, but pissed all over himself. Like,
I know.
When I say himself, like, his face, like, it went up, like, shot up to his, like, chest and his face.
Oh,
like a baby?
God. So he went to the doctor, and pretty much they said, you either have to stop drinking or, like, this is just going to keep fucking happening, like, unless, you know, something happens and just kind of automatically reverses itself. So if you were in this situation, what would you do?
Yeah, like, that's a good question. Like, this is not like a quote unquote medical issue.
That's
it's like,
just,
yo, you just get drunk and piss yourself,
that's
dude.
The doctor's like, yo, you're an alcoholic. Like, just start, he's like an alcoholic. And I was like, how do I fix him? Like, I'll just keep telling him he wakes up and piss every time he drinks. Like, that's not a real medical title. It's like, this is going to keep happening unless you stop drinking. What do you mean? You just piss yourself, man. Just go to the bathroom before you go to bed. Like, that's my medical title.
Like, yeah, this is just like be an adult, dude. Figure out how to, like, piss. Figure out how to go to the bathroom.
I'm
like, you're not potty trained.
The I lived with this condition apparently for a while. I haven't pissed myself in God knows how long.
Yeah, well, no. So when this doctor was like, "This is going to keep happening," I think you grow out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's because maybe you drink differently now. Like maybe you just drink.
Nah.
No. Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
I still drink with 22-year-old.
No, you don't though, because like now you'll sit down and have like a glass of scotch, not like 30 beers.
Yeah, but I'll have like 8 scotches.
Yeah, but that's a lot less than 30 beers.
I guess, yeah, that's true. Less piss.
It's a lot less piss in you.
The drunk level is the same.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, switch to scotch.
There you go. Boom. Answer.
So I keep piss.
Less liquids.
Do shots of tequila or glasses of scotch.
Or, you know what? Drugs. Drugs doesn't make you piss.
Fuck this doctor, by the way. Fuck you, man.
The piss doctor.
This is ridiculous. I remember when I think I've talked about this before, like, fucking, I was probably like 19, 20, give or take. And I went to the doctor, and it was just like a regular checkup. I wasn't asking about I wouldn't go to the doctor. Man, that's outrageous to have. Like, I piss myself so often, I got to go to the doctor. We tell that fucking nurse who's taking the call, like, what's the point? What seems to be the problem? Like, I just can't stop pissing myself.
he just
wants a prostate exam. That's what that is. Like, yo, I just want the doctor to stick a
put
finger in my
put a couple in
ass.
There. Yeah, put a couple in.
But the doctor told me, he's like, you got to stop drinking beer. Because it was one of those things where, you know, they ask you how often you drink, and I'm like, I don't know. I was like I said, 19, 20, so I probably like 4 nights a week. And
having like 15 beers a clip.
Cut that in half.
Yeah.
And I'm like 8 beers. Like, that's too many.
Oh, boy.
and he was like, well, you should probably stop drinking beer. And I was like, yeah, okay, dude, fuck you. And like
that's
like,
never gonna happen.
This is just doctors. Doctors do these things. Like he told me I had to do because my liver, but not because of the alcohol. It's like I'm allergic to wheat, and he's like it's gonna fuck with your liver enzymes or whatever. And I was like, that all sounds made up, dude. You're just trying to get me to drink less. That's what this doctor's doing too. They're just making up shit to try and get you to drink less. Don't listen.
And you
to
know
him.
What? Like if I was a doctor, I don't fucking care. I'd be like, tell me honestly, how many? Oh, you have like 36 beers a weekend. That's not good for you. That's my medical, like, you know, that's going to fuck with your liver. Next question. I don't care how much you drink. Go kill yourself. I don't care.
You shouldn't do that. But if you continue to, you'll see me more often, and I will make money. So
drink up.
Drink up, buddy. Yeah.
I think that there's almost nothing in this world that could get me to stop drinking. If I was a bed pisser, that would be the one. I don't think
no.
Yeah. If I was like you, man, like you were just pissing on everybody. Pissing on girls, pissing on beds, sleep on a couch, I'll piss on the couch. I had a problem with pissing in things other than toilets. Like, it's not my scene, bro. I like to pee in toilets. I think that would
not
be...
Not me. I'm not like a... I'll piss in the sink, sure. I love a good outdoors
piss.
Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, listen, when your dick's flapping in the wind, it feels just
dude,
great.
I love taking my dog for a walk just to piss with her. Like I do all the time.
You guys piss on like the same tree,
yeah,
same
like,
fire hydrant.
Meg, come here. This is how you do it.
I just have this vision of Feidelberg lifting his leg like a dog for some reason, pissing. But yeah, that's something to me. I wouldn't want that, man. That's not my scene.
It's definitely not funny. It's like,
you got to a point where you really did not care. Much like everything else in your life, though. I remember saying, we were like joking about it. I was with like some of my friends who you probably met for the first time. I think this is when your ex-girlfriend, she completely passed out at the table.
Yeah.
That was great. It was my first trip to New York. It was me and like all my friends with a few couples who are like, the girls were like, you know, kind of by the book and straight edge. And Fight's ex-girlfriend literally was incapacitated in our booth. She was slumped over behind Fight, so he just kind of scooted forward. She was laying behind him, and one of the girls was like, do you want some bread? Like almost like trying to push the bread into her mouth. And Fight's like, she's good. She does this all the time.
Nah, she's just wasted. Don't worry about it.
And so I remember we were joking about it, and I said, I was like, I mean, yeah, he does this all the time. Fights, how many beds do you think you've pissed in? And Feidelberg, with zero hesitation, goes, how many have I been in? He just wore it like a badge of honor. That's what I do. I piss on your beds.
It's helpful when you have a girlfriend because
what?
Yeah, no, you trick them.
You say it was her.
Yeah, be like, oh,
you got another suspect.
Again. What the hell? And if you have a girlfriend who slumps in the booth,
she
like
could
that,
believe it.
Easily convinced.
I could
easily
see
convinced.
Like she went on to the next boyfriend and was like, oh yeah, that seems to just be like an issue I had when I was with John. What a coincidence.
What's up, KFC Fight Super Producer? God, fuck me. God damn it, I can't talk. Please play this. What's up, Super Producer DC?
Still struggled.
Yeah.
Driving and just thinking about something. I have a great would you rather. So, would you rather live in society in the past, like way in the past, like think colonialized America, where there was like no money and you have to trade and barter for things, or even think earlier than that, like in Egypt where you're like living in a hut, or like way in the future, thinking like 2000 and like 2500, like 300 years or 400 years in the future, and you can instantly be there tomorrow, what would you pick? Thanks.
Kevin, what time would you like to live in?
Not the present. If you're asking your boy KFC what time he wants to live in, it's any time but right now. I mean, I feel like I have to choose colonial times to maybe make things different. I cannot live in the past. Like in the...
I don't know, man. I've been on my Black Mirror kick. I don't want that shit.
Yeah, but you know what? I would rather deal with that than the alternative of just like absolutely everything in life is hard.
I think,
like, where's your next meal? You got to go find it. Like, where are you going to live? You got to go build it. Like,
that's
you know, you get sick, like, oh, we got to chop your leg off because you got a cold. Like, I can't fuck with that. I'll deal with, listen, I just was in an episode of Black Mirror where technology absolutely ruined my entire life. And I'm still like, I can't build a fucking log cabin, bro.
I guess that's true. The Black Mirror thing, I guess, doesn't scare me as much because that's going to happen subtly. It's going to be like a slow thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, although I guess if you just flash forward to the future where it's like, you know, they have like mind reading devices that are just kind of put into your head for insurance scams and shit like that, is that's a tough thing.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I guess it's got to be future because you're right. Like, I'm such a, like, I'm not a
we
man.
We are so soft.
Yeah. Like,
I don't
know how to do anything
no.
at all.
No. Like, I mean, you have to do, John, what are you going to wear today? Like, oh, I got to like sew a shirt. I got to like make a shirt out of like a pelt. You know what they call it? Like a fox pelt or some shit.
Dude, I bought a off, I think it was Wayfair. I bought a nightside table. And I bought it off Wayfair, not IKEA or anything like that, because I wanted it to come put together. And it didn't. So I don't have a nightside table.
Yeah, I mean, so that's it. That's not going to happen.
It's just sitting, it's just in the box in my room, been there for a year and a half. Like, I don't know how to make a table. I just know, I'm like, I'm not even attempting to undergo that process.
And a table is like, it's a flat thing on top of these other sticks.
Kevin, yeah. It's 3 feet tall and it's a little circle. It's like, it's got to be easy, but I just know it's not. I know I have to dedicate 6 hours to that, at least. And I can't. I can't do it.
No.
So never mind, like, a house or a shirt. Imagine making a shirt.
No, like that's what I mean.
I'd be a Mexican. I'd go
Dude,
poncho.
Think, yeah, oh, yeah. Just cut a hole in a big fucking yeah. in a big blanket,
and then have a rope around me, a belt, done.
I'm
dressed
clothes.
Now.
I mean, when I look at buildings, file this under. I just don't get it. Buildings, like we are inside of something right now because somebody sketched it out on a blueprint on a piece of paper, and then somehow built it to scale. And, like, laid bricks and mortar and concrete and rebar and electricity. And now, bam, we have a fucking huge, like, 100-story skyscraper. And you know what's really crazy about that? I understand that architects are, like, geniuses, right?
No.
Those guys are, like, artists. They see the fucking blueprint. They see the matrix. Then you put it into practice, and you got, like, you know, a construction crew of, like, 100 illegals, and this guy who's, like, fucking drunk on the job, and they still just build that shit. And it works. It's nuts.
You know, I go skiing at Jay Peak every New Year's, and like me and a lot of my friends go up there. So my buddy's like a builder.
A builder, huh?
What am I, a dictionary dude? It's
it's
a construction worker.
That's like saying a chef is like, I'm a cooker.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Things that I cook, I'm a cooker.
I call things the very basic. You know, I don't need to put on frills in here. I don't need to put on airs for you and use my fancy vernacular.
A contractor.
He's a contractor, whatever.
Give your boy some respect.
He's
a maker. He just makes things.
But we're up there, and you know, we go up there all the time, and he was like, yo, we should just buy property, and then we'll build a house.
Oh, yeah, we do that all the time.
And
we always said we should buy a house. He wants to just build one?
Yeah, he's like,
oh,
he's like
a builder.
He's like, yeah, he's a construction. Like, he knows how to do that. He's not like the drunk guy on the job. He's like, he's a contractor. He mm-hmm. knows how to build houses and shit. And like, I remember everyone else like seemed very into it. And I love the idea. He's like, we'll just come up, like, we'll take it, you know, for a year or two. Like, we'll have like 2 week vacations. We come up and you guys will work for me. You'll be my crew. And I was like, definitely. Yes. This is a great idea. I love it. Like,
Far-fetched, unrealistic plan.
It's like
ever.
Actually like the land up there is really, it makes all checks out. Land up there is really cheap. He knows how to do it. But like, If people expect me to be hammering nails, buddy, you got the wrong guy.
Like smoothing out mortar and shit. Yeah, like, no,
you
dude.
You can tell me, you can like just take control of my hands and you still won't know how to do it. Like, no. I'm like, hey, but this doesn't make any sense at all.
I'll like get lunch for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll
like,
sit
like,
there.
When
I'll
I think about like the foundation, well, I don't know, what the fuck? Like, I would just like start, I would just like take bricks and start stacking them on the grass. Just, like, oh, on the grass. This will stand up. We're good. We're good.
The when I was like 16, I had a job on like a contracting site. And I might have been older than 16. I might be keeping myself a little taking a little blame for myself. Like, yeah, I was just young. Like, nah, I was probably 23.
You were just an idiot.
And they were like, nah, John, you just go move rocks. Like, did it like they basically just gave me like the job they had in like communist Russia, so unemployment was like zero. Like, they like you just move piles of rocks, and like it would be the same pile of rocks I was always moving.
Yeah, no, right.
But, yeah,
back and forth.
Yeah, move it over there. All right. It's Wednesday now.
It's literally a punishment. Yeah. We used to paint. Me and my brother had summer jobs where we painted engine rooms in the basement of like skyscrapers. My dad does like property management in Manhattan. He got us these jobs, like terrible grunt work. But I think like over the summer I was making like $20 an hour. I was like,
ooh,
big balling at that point. And I one of the jobs was that I was literally painting the ground of the engine room, and I actually. Literally painted myself into a corner one time. I just did it backwards, and then like they came out, and I was standing in the corner, and I was like, and they were like, "You've painted yourself into a corner." I couldn't even do that right. Couldn't even do the grunt work right.
Hey, what's up, KFC Fight Super Producer BC?
People are struggling.
Long time listener, first time caller. Okay, so I just have a question about. So me and my friends from high school, we have a fantasy football group. We have a quite the interesting sacco punishment for whoever gets last, and I just want to know what you guys think. So I'll just get right to it. We call it the ass luge, and the person who gets last place is laying on the ground, and the person who gets second to last is butt cheeks out, getting a Four Loko poured right down their cheeks onto the loser's face as they drink it, what have you. I just want to know, is this like the gayest thing ever, or is it like actually funny? Like, I don't know. Just interested
funny.
What you guys would like to say about it. All right, see ya.
I don't think it's gay. I mean, I guess, I don't know. But it's not funny. It's terrible.
Yo,
also,
yo,
why is
also,
it the second to last guy? Shouldn't it be the winner who gets the Four Loko poured out
no,
of bed?
No. See, I was going to say, hot take here. I almost think it's, like, weirder to be the dude who's, like, bent over with his butt cheeks out.
Spreading out. Yeah, that's true.
Like, cause, like, listen, it's gross, but it's, like, it's not like the guy's, like, shitting on you. Like, yeah, your ass crack's, like, not clean, but it's just, like, that guy's basically getting a Four Loko pour on his face.
True.
A little bit, maybe there's a little bit dirty in there, but you're just getting, like, beer Four Loko poured on you. The other dude, and I'm sure they're filming it and shit, you know, the other dude is just like, yep, let's do it. Like, how about that guy's coming in last place? Like, that should be, those roles
just
should be reversed.
Spreading your asshole out.
I know, let me grab, can you grab Havens real quick? He has a story, I don't know if he's allowed to tell it. Well, we'll just keep government names out. It's disgusting. The things that people do who like gamble and fantasy sports and some of like the punishments or like redemption things, there are just things I will not do in this world, and I'll just be like, I don't know, man. Like, I'll never be in your fantasy football league again, but I'm not spreading out my asshole for a Four Loko.
Yeah, you can like, kick me out of the league.
Like, okay, I'm not a man, or like, I'm not, like, I broke the rule. I'll just never play with you again, and I won't have to be humiliated.
I will.
Lurvy, can you tell the I'm a little teapot story? All right, so we got the Jay Hay kid in here. He is the producer of Starting Nine. He is one of my longest friends. 25 years I've known this guy. This story makes the Four Loko story look like a fucking, like the winner. Like, that's a good thing compared to this. Break it down for us.
So this sounds even more ridiculous now that we have, like, 14 years of distance between when it happened because the deaths were so small.
Yeah. When you hear this, dude, you're going to be stunned.
So, a handful of my friends and myself were hanging out and playing just like, I think it was the NCAA video game, basketball for PlayStation.
Okay, like PlayStation like 1.
Yeah, like this is, yeah. We are, I think, seniors in high school
okay.
at this time.
God, this makes it even creepier because you were like children.
Maybe it was a break during freshman in college. I would have to go back. But anyway, so this, my one friend, we'll call him Joe.
Okay.
he lost, like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 games in a row and was down like $100 or $150, okay?
You're going to – you're. This is – in my mind, I thought it was like $750. This is really crazy.
And so he's in the middle of one game where it's either going to be erase the entire debt or the prize. And he loses and, in fact, is losing so badly that he quits in like the third quarter of the game, throws down his controller and says, let's get this fucking over with. They go up to my friend's. This is at my friend's parents' house, by the way, okay? Nobody's living on their own at this point. They go up to my friend's parents' house, and he proceeds to strip down, get into the shower, and two of my friends pee directly onto his face while he has to sing or say, what a wonderful day for a tea party.
Oh, my God.
And these are not like, this is a group. This is a group of real good friends. Like, not, this isn't like some shithead that they invited over to like fuck with at the end of this like basketball tournament. These are guys that hung out all the time. They still hang out to this day. I see them when I go back to Illinois. And
what a wonderful day for a tea party.
It was on tape. They videotaped
it. Oh, is that still around?
So no, I
was
going to
say,
well, up for debate,
right,
whether it's still around. But
because to me, if that's, first of all, My point was just before, like, if I lose in the fantasy football league, I am not spreading my ass cheeks or taking the Four Logo to the face. I'll just never play fantasy sports with you guys again. I don't know. Like, I'll find a way to get $150 before I let my friends piss on me.
Well, and this guy's...
I mean, that's... Like, no offense to your friends, they're fucking crazy. Yeah, those guys are fucked up.
I'll hold a knife to your throat. I'll just fucking kill you.
Yeah, yeah, like, you are
like,
not,
I'll just
you
murder
are not
you.
Gonna piss on me.
Everybody involved in that has turned out fine, but I will...
You know what? I just don't know if that's
but
true.
But I will say there's like a low level of PTSD, I think, that both sides have.
Yeah, well, that's interesting too, because like, I wouldn't want to piss on your face.
I think there was a level of regret that set in like pretty soon afterwards that like...
Dude, that regret should set in the moment you are best friend is on his knees and your dick is out. You should be like, all right, hang on. This just, no, I'm not going to piss on your face.
Think about this scene. You got one in the tub, right? Probably in the shower or whatever.
In the shower.
He's saying, I'm a little teapot. Two guys with their dicks out, and the other guy's like filming it and standing around the whole scene, dude.
So, one addendum to this. Okay, so it was senior year of high school because at the end of the year, we had a like end of year sappy, like, they still did like awards at that point, like most likely to.
Uh-huh,
I bet
uh-huh.
they don't even do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's
in
like not
now.
Allowed.
And so the teachers, we were the first graduating class of this particular high school because high school's like
brand
apart.
New. Yeah, yeah.
And so the teachers were very young, probably too young and inexperienced to really have been teachers. And so there was like a level of closeness between
yeah, like,
the senior
like
class
almost,
and
yeah.
the teachers. And so one of the teachers,
Jesus Christ,
what this became known, okay, like around school, like teachers knew
the world is so like different now. That would be like Dateline.
Oh
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, it would be all over for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they gave him the Golden Shower Award at an official school thing. And like, I remember all of us like cracking up thinking this is the greatest thing in the world. If I saw a report of that now, I'd be like, what the fuck were those teachers thinking?
Seriously.
Like,
everybody's
did they all
want
to get fired?
Everybody's like, going to jail.
The Golden Shower Award. Like, it was just a thing that like happened and everybody like was kind of okay with it. Kind of not, but kind of okay.
And a fucking school event. Hey, Joe, come on up here. Thanks, Principal fucking... thanks, Principal Dykstra. Like,
yeah.
Really wanted this in memoriam of the time my friends took their
and
cocks
he's kinda,
out and pissed on me.
And in like the...
For $150.
Yeah, and like the 14 years since, he's like been... like, he kind of gave up, but he's been chasing that. Like, for a while, he was trying to piss on other people to like get his pound
redemption.
Of flesh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah
it
yeah.
was like... And
no,
everybody
listen,
was kind of
like honestly...
We don't want to see this anymore.
No,
like,
that guy needs to murder those two people. Yeah. Actually, everybody involved. The only way you can get rid of that, you can get that monkey off your back, is to kill everybody.
Yeah, the piss on tape.
He should have killed them beforehand. Like,
yeah. Listen, okay, like, I'll meet you in the bathroom, and then you come in there with a knife, and you stab them. And
right, come right. I'd, like, wait till I was on my knees in the shower, and you took your dick out, I'd rip it off like a monkey. I'd just, like, grab it, like, rah!
Like a lot of us, you know, I'm on a running email chain with these guys.
Yeah.
And every couple of months, someone will you be talking about a bet or something, they'll go, I'll bet you a piss on. And it's like, you're never getting away from this, ever.
Oh, my God.
So.
No, that if there's anybody out there that can top that one, because there's a lot of, like, last place in the fantasy league has to do this and that now, with the four loco to the face and shit. I don't think you can beat the Jay Hay Tea Party.
I don't think so.
If you can, I actually don't even think I want
to
hear
clear
it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but I don't. Because I feel like if I hear something worse than that, I think we have to, like, call the authorities to think, like, we're complicit in the crime.
I lost my fantasy bet. I have to murder a homeless guy tonight.
To clear an amount of money that I wouldn't even give a second thought to losing.
No, right. Like, you know, you blow that at the bar.
Bucks.
Yeah,
man,
whatever.
I
dropped it on the street and, like,
you
it blew away.
You want to fucking pee on me to wash that away?
Unbelievable. I don't think we can... I don't think we can top that for the day. I think it's a weird episode, and we're going to end it even weirder. So thanks to Jay Hay. Follow him on Twitter, at Jay Hay Kid. Follow at Starting Nine. And for everybody who's still going to ride with us, thank you. And buckle up, because it's only going to get weirder and more interesting and more KFC Radio from here.